God is good. What an awesome opportunity that we have in our country, that our men and women, and you know what? A lot of times we think of this as something that is recent, you know, but when we think back about our country in the formational years, you know, the years during the Revolution that our people, our soldiers, gave their lives for what they believed in. They gave their lives for the cause of freedom. And there's something to be said about that when you can, when you put aside your own desires, when you lay aside your own agenda, your own things that you want to accomplish for the sake of someone else. That's love, friends. That's love. And we honor today our soldiers, men and women, past, present, and future, you know, that have given and will give their lives for our country. And you know what? It's not so much that they believe, because there are times when each soldier may question the mission. Do you understand what I'm saying? Each soldier may question the mission that they're on, but their love for their country, their love for those that are back home waiting for them, and their training to obey orders causes them to move forward. And it's not as though these men and women did not experience fear. That's not it at all. Everybody is afraid at one time or another, especially when your lives are on the line. When there is a risk of you dying in that mission, you begin to really think, am I in this? Am I ready for this? Am I going to do this? But our soldiers took that fear and they pressed it down in. And they acted in spite of that fear. Though they were afraid as well, they acted on behalf of others. Sometimes for the man or woman standing next to them. For those at home. But they gave their lives for someone else. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15, verse 13. 15:13. So Jesus, let me just establish the context of this. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he's telling them and referencing them about being in the vine, that Jesus is the vine, and that we are to be in him, and apart from him, we can't do anything, okay? That if we are separated from the vine, as if it were a grapevine of sorts, okay? And so Jesus is telling his disciples, remain in me, stay in me. Stay with me, obey me, all right? And then he says this in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. All right? He didn't say family. Notice that. He didn't say family. He said friends. Notice the implication there that he is calling us his friends. We are his friends. He has called us his friends. And he is showing the disciples, he is showing us that he will go on to lay down his life for you and I. And there's no greater love. Laying aside your own life for someone else's. And we reference our soldiers. We hold them in high regard. We honor them. And when from time to time you may see someone with a Vietnam hat on or a Korea hat on, or World War II, you know, or something like this, and you give homage to them, you honor them, and you say, "Did you serve in the war?" Yes, I did. And you shake their hand, maybe, or give them a hug, you know, and you say, "Thank you for your service," you know. If we don't, we should. You know, most of our veterans from World War II are almost gone now. You know, or they're in their last years, no doubt. You know, and so we honor them, but so much more so for the cause of humanity, for God's great love for people to come to a saving knowledge, to a place where they recognize their own inadequacy, they recognize their own sin, and recognize their need of a Savior, God sent His Son to give His life as a sacrifice for many, as a ransom, in fact, as a ransom. In today's world, or maybe you've watched movies where someone was stolen, you know, a child was taken or something. Maybe you saw that movie, Taken. Anybody see that movie, Taken? Oh, my goodness. All right, that's some pretty nasty stuff, right? Well, and they would hold this person for a ransom, and they say, "You can't have them back unless you give this," all right? And in many cases, it's money or you know, in terrorist incidents, there would be, you let somebody else go that's in prison, and we'll let these, you know, prisoners go, and this is the cost of this ransom, all right? And in this way, you know, God has given Christ Jesus the Lord as the ransom for our salvation. The Bible says that we are not our own. We were purchased with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God. He's the one. He is the one that purchased our souls. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I see a lot of lips moving out there. You guys are quoting that scripture with me. Praise the Lord. That's important. You know, there may be a day, God forbid, when we don't have a Bible to read from anymore. Who knows where things may go? Have you ever thought of that? Someday we may not have access to a Bible. Who knows? Maybe they will have Bible burning days when all the Bibles are burned and we don't have that luxury anymore. And so whatever we have in here and here can't be taken. Amen. I don't say that to scare you, but it's something that we need to think about, and there should be a precedence on putting the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds that we can recall at any given time. Amen. Greater love has no one than this, that one should lay down one's life for his friends. That is a sacrificial love, isn't it? That is a sacrificial love. And from the times of Exodus and Leviticus, God, the I Am, has given laws to His people, Israel, for them to follow, all right? Now, these laws, They make Israel a peculiar people. All right? The Bible calls them a peculiar people. They're different, you know? And so all these various festivals that they have to do and sacrifices and all of these different things, you can't do this and you should do that. And they make the people of God a peculiar people. They stand out, don't they? They stand out from other nations, and that's what God wanted. God wanted them to stand out. He was showing himself, not only to his own people, but to the people of the world. And so these people, from that time on, thousands and hundreds of thousands of bulls and goats and lambs were sacrificed for sin and for people to be made and put back in right standing with God. And so in an effort for people to remember that their sin cost somebody something, often we forget about that. That our sin, our disobedience costs somebody something. And in all of those cases, all of those innocent animals that never did a thing wrong were killed. Their lives were taken. Their blood was shed. Their bodies were mutilated for their sin. For their sin. And it was a stark reminder that our sin is costly. And it is to remind us ever so poignantly, and the grossness of it, okay? The grossness of it, it's a pretty nasty situation, all right? It's bloody. There is blood all over the place, all right? And we would try to, you know, kind of put that away and make it more Americanized and make it more suitable for us, you know, to talk about in church. But it was brutal. It was nasty. Blood everywhere, and the pieces of, you know, aside and all over. But that was a reminder that this innocent animal did nothing, and yet its very life was taken because I sinned. In the same way, Christ Jesus, our Lord, his life was not taken from him, as he said, I give it. I lay down my life. I lay it down willingly. Why did he do that? Because of a love that we've never known, we've never experienced like that kind of love. And because of our sin, the weight of our sin, the cost of our sin, the Bible says, was laid upon him. The punishment, as it says, the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. The punishment that he bore that brought us peace was laid upon him. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was placed upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Hallelujah. Humankind is healed from our broken state that sin has caused. Sin causes a chasm that grows, if you will. Sin causes a chasm between us and God. And that chasm can only be made right, can only be brought back together again through Christ Jesus, the Lord, and his sacrifice on the cross. And you've heard me say before that the weight of the priest, they would put their weight upon the head of this innocent, beautiful, spotless, firstborn lamb. It's young, which makes it even so much more innocent, doesn't it? The fact that it's young. And they would place the weight of their bodies, signifying the weight of their sin, upon this innocent little lamb. And then they would cut its throat. And it just, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair, does it? It doesn't seem fair. Why would this innocent lamb, why would this innocent animal, this young, perfect, spotless animal, have to suffer for something somebody else did? It's not right. It's not fair. Somebody needs to stand up for them. Save the whales. Save the lambs. It's not right. It's not right that they should have to die for somebody else's wrongdoings. But Christ loved you and I so much that he was willing to give his own life. Oh, what a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. And I'm so reminded of that movie, Saving Private Ryan. You guys have seen that movie, haven't you? That's a tough movie to watch. It's a tough movie to watch, but it's a good movie. And in that movie, when Private Ryan has been saved and you know, a number of people had to die protecting him and to get him out of the war, to get him back to his mama, because all his brothers had died in war. And so this one group of men were put together for this one task only, and that was to go get this Private Ryan, this young recruit, and get him back to his mama so that she has somebody that's left alive. And others, a few of that squad, a few of them gave their lives for that young man. And as the commanding officer, who in this case was Tom Hanks, had been shot a couple of times, and he's in his last dying breaths, he says to Private Ryan, he pulls him near, and he can barely talk, he can barely breathe, and he says, "Earn this. Earn it." And he breathes his last. Earn it. I think sometimes I wonder when God looks at me, does he say, "Man, you're so not worth it"? He could say that, because I'm not. We're not. I don't deserve that kind of love. I don't deserve that kind of sacrifice for me. But he did it anyway. Amen. Because he loved the world so much. And in Romans it says, and God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. While we were still sinners. You see, he didn't wait for us to get all cleaned up and washed up, you know, and like mama would wash us up before dinner or something like that. He doesn't wait for us to come to him all cleaned up and perfect and have everything worked out. So that is the reason, the very reason that he died. It was for those things. It was for the spiritual dirt that we had on our souls that he died. While we were still sinners. You know, it might happen that someone dies, and the scriptures talk about this, that someone might die for somebody that's a good person, right? Maybe Maybe for a family member who is greatly adored, someone would definitely, like I would die for the lives of any of my family, as probably you would too, okay? And so that might be the case. But rarely would someone die for someone that is not those things. You know, if I didn't know you, or if you were kind of a low life, I don't know, I don't think we have any of those people here. All right. If you were a great sinner or someone that just really fell short of the mark, okay, rarely will anyone bat an eye considering whether or not they will die for someone like that. It doesn't happen. But you know, that's the state that we were in when Christ said, I'm dying for you and you and you. We don't deserve it. And the best of us could say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I deserve this. I deserve to be died for. I've been a good person all my life. I've done this, I've done that, and I give my money to the church because it needs it so bad. And I do this, I come and I clean, I do all these good things. I am a good person. I am deserving of someone to die for me. I'm worth it. But the Bible says that our righteousness, which is what we're showing God that we are, if we're talking like that, right? Our righteousness is as filthy as rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's dirty, it's stinky, it's yucky, it's ugly. Even the best of us need a Savior. Even the best of us sin. We still sin. The Bible says in Romans that, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let me just read that scripture. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. You know? We have nothing good. The Bible says that there is not one righteous, not one. There is not one single person that is deserving. All have sinned. We all fall short of God's measuring stick, of the holy standard that He has declared. But by His grace, by His love, and His mercy, we are set free. We are set free. Those songs that we sang today are so beautiful and so fitting. We are, and we truly have been, and we remain free. Would you stand with me today? You know, it's hard these days to distinguish and to make sense. Well, if my country is going in a way that I don't approve of, do I still love it and support it? And, you know, and I think that it's right to have a patriotic view of your country. I mean, we live in a pretty good place. I mean, we are really, really blessed. And I truly believe that that blessing that we have lived in and under is because of God's influence in our country. and the running of it. And I also believe that if we are to take God out of that equation, that our country will go down and fall and become like other countries. You know, we will be no different. But the thing that does make us different is that God has been involved from the very beginning.
That's right.
We start doing things like taking in God we trust off of our money because it's offensive to people. We start doing things like not allowing God in schools because it's offensive to people. We start putting people of other religions in charge over our country. That is a slap in the face to God. Don't you think otherwise? It is a slap in the face to God. If anyone says that we are not a Christian nation, they are mistaken.
Amen.
They are mistaken. You'd be hard-pressed to find documents without the mention of a sovereign God in them. And how our commanding officers and the leaders of our country and the founding fathers of our country mentioned God so often. President Lincoln, George Washington. And you know, we endear these men and we put them way up on a pedestal as if they were perfect. And they're not. They're not perfect. We'd like to think they are, but they're far from it. But we endear them. We put them up on a pedestal and we honor them. Sometimes we idolize them, honestly, because of what they did. Because of what they represented for our country. And still do to this day.
Amen.
But God help the United States of America if we turn our backs on God. Ronald Reagan said that one phrase that if we ever cease to be a nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Amen.
Something along those lines. If we ever cease to be a nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. There's no doubt. And friends, honestly, we can see signs of that. The Lord Jesus laid down his life for you and I when we were still sinners. There's no greater love than that. There's no greater love than one should lay down their life for their friends.